Right, I want to welcome everybody this morning. So glad that you're here. We're back in the book of Revelations. We're in chapter 9, so open up your Bible all the way to the right. It's the last book in the Bible. We're in chapter 9. We're beginning with verse 13. We're going to go through verse 21. We're going to take a look at the sixth trumpet judgment today, which is going to involve a global satanic slaughter. And as we do open up today, we have to realize that we live in a world right now that is locked into a cosmic battle of good and evil. We have to realize that we live everyday life with two opposing forces clamoring for our minds and our commitments. We got the world, the flesh, and the devil with a pull on us from hell itself. And we have the sphere of God, the angels, and the church that's diametrically opposed. And listen, as people yield themselves to these forces, either good or evil, they become friends either with God or with the devil himself. See, and if you don't realize that, you're losing the cosmic war as we speak. To miss the reality of what's taking place in the world that we live in is a sign that you've already fallen under Satan's influence and are beginning to be blind to his control through deception. And fall under satanic blindness is one of the worst mistakes that we can make because the end game of that is eternal disaster for us personally. So look at it this way. God offers us the life-giving gospel while Satan offers us the passing pleasures of sin. And it's interesting because if I could put it this way, the loud voices of hell in the world have always tried to drown out the preaching of the gospel. Can I get an amen on that? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's almost like a satanic siren that drowns out every sound. If you don't believe me, watch the news. You can almost hear the siren as you watch the news daily. And during the tribulation, this siren from hell is going to be so loud that people are not going to be able to resist it. That's really what we're heading in for as we look at our passage this morning. You know, we have to realize that most of the people during the tribulation are never going to listen to the gospel that's being preached. And the people that are preaching the gospel during the Great Tribulation, we know the 144,000 Jews are, and we know believers will be, and they're going to be drowned out and they're going to be marginalized. They're also going to be blamed for all the tragedies that are happening because that's the way it works. And they're not going to heed the warnings of destruction even coming from heaven itself, as we saw last week. The Bible tells us that during this time, there's going to be a satanic delusion so powerful that people are not going to respond to the truth no matter how plain it is. I want to read a verse to you that Paul wrote from 2 Thessalonians because he describes the situation at 2 Thessalonians 2. He says, "For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they'll believe what is false, in order that they may all be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." Folks, we don't have to wait for the Great Tribulation, do we? I don't know about you. I can see that happening today. And as I'm seeing evil raised up in the world and the hatefulness and the bitterness and the evilness is illogical. You just go, what are these people so angry about? like, I don't get it, you know. What happened to you, man? And, you know, this is the cosmic battle that's going on. And the whole world is getting angry. And with the sounding of the sixth trumpet, there is even a more sinister demonic attack on the way. This time, as opposed to last week, with the millions of demonic beings that were let out of the pit to torture people for 5 months straight, that was, remember, so bad that people wanted to commit suicide, but they were in such satanic bondage, they were not able to kill themselves. This outpouring of demons in this trumpet is literally going to be murdering people. So today, we're literally going to see five different results from this new demonic outpouring. So the sixth trumpet sounds, and we get round two of a great satanic release. We open up in verse 13. It says, then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. So, you know, it doesn't tell us who the voice is. We don't know if it's the Lamb of God, Jesus himself, or an important high angelic being. But it does tell us where it's coming from. It's coming from the altar of incense. Now, the last two Sundays, we've been going over the altar of incense, and we've seen it's always been an altar of prayer, whether it's in the Old Testament or whether it's in Revelation. But in Revelation, we've seen that this altar of prayer has changed its emphasis. And the time of mercy and forgiveness, which the altar of prayer used to be, is over. And this new golden altar is used for prayers of judgment, not mercy. Everything has changed in the Great Tribulation. You know, in chapter 6, we saw the tribulational saints standing at this altar praying for judgment against their murderers and for God to take them out once and for all. Then in chapter 8, we saw an angel take the burning coals that burns the incense and that altar and throw a firestorm down to earth and take out a third of the planet. So this is coming from an altar that is turned into a judgment altar. And verse 14 goes on, it says, and one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So these angels are actually demons, and we know that because they're bound. And good angels are not bound. They don't have to be tied up because they, you know, very willingly are doing God's will. And it's interesting here because it says that they're released. And this verb in the Greek, release, is in the perfect tense, which shows continuous action. So they had been there a long time in bondage, waiting to do this dirty deed for a period of time. And it's interesting. You know, if you study where this is happening, the Euphrates River, you realize that this has always been a demonic hotspot ever since Genesis. We know that it was near the Euphrates that Adam and Eve first fell, and Satan was active there and brought sin and death into the world, which we still experience today. We know at the same place bordering the river of Euphrates that there were three great nations that came out of that spot that were enemies of God: Assyria, Babylon, and Medo-Persia, all killing God's people. And it was on the bank of the Euphrates that the Jews were held in bondage for 70 years. It has got a track record. And the use of the definite article here for these four angels shows that these four were special, high-ranking, powerful demons assigned to that area. It's the angels. So, like the millions of demons that were released in the last judgment, these four demons were locked up until their time was given them to harm man. So while they lead a mob of demons to do Satan's bidding in killing people on earth, they're actually going to be fulfilling God's will. They're not going to do anything. He's got them all on a chain, you guys. And that chain only goes so far. So the sixth trumpet sounds, and we have round two of a great satanic release. And then we have the unleashing, which is a satanic death squad of 200 million strong. Verse 15 says, "And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released, so that they would kill a third of mankind." So in the fifth trumpet, death was put on hold. Remember when those demonic beings were attacking people that we looked at last week, they were in sincere misery for 5 months, but God says that they were not allowed to take anybody's life. Well, that whole idea is put on hold, because when the sixth trumpet sounds, death returns with a vengeance. And again, it's literally, you got to realize this, an outpouring of a death squad that is going to be on a global scale. Everything that we've been seeing as these judgments are coming forth is global. It's not just a city. It's not just a country. The whole globe's being affected. So, you know, we have to look at what's already happened to appreciate the extent of the catastrophes that are going on. We know with the fourth seal judgment that over a quarter of the earth's population was killed, it says, through sword, hunger, and death through animal maulings. I don't know if any of you have watched the series on TV called Zoo, but if you did, this was absolutely a perfect description of what's going to be going on during the tribulation too, where the animals turn against the humans. So, you know, the loss of human life has been so dramatic with these two judgments that the earth lost over half its population just with those two judgments. So this is incredible. And this doesn't include all those who lost their lives in the seal and the trumpet judgments that are beyond that. So, you know, it's such a massive wipeout of the population. It's going to completely disrupt life as we know it. Now, I know we have a tendency to read these passages and go, But it's my prayer that we will wake up this morning and catch the reality of what I believe is ahead, not in the too long future from now. Because I know that God wants us to make it a reality. You know, the stench of death is going to fill the earth. The problem of burying dead bodies on that massive of a scale to prevent death through diseases is going to be overwhelming. And in this new demonic outbreak, there's going to be a slaughter of over a billion people. And that's going to take a huge, powerful force in order for that to happen. And what's really interesting in this judgment is this is the first time we're given the exact number of how many demons are going to be released from this death squad. It's in verse 16. It says the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. And then almost as if John was expecting skeptics to argue with him over that number that's going to be released, he says, "I heard the number of them." Now, he already knows he's going to get arguments over that. 200 million. And he goes, "Yeah, because God said 200 million. That's how I know." So the sixth trumpet sounds. We get round two of a great satanic release. We get the unleashing of a satanic death squad that's 200 million strong. And the satanic powers are so great, a third of the earth's population is wiped out. Verse 17 says, "And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and hyacinth and brimstone." So let's take a look at these riders first, because the color that they represent is going to be pretty important. So it says that the breastplates were the color of fire, or red. They were also the color of hyacinth, which is a dark blue, and brimstone, which is a sulfurous yellow. And it's interesting because these are all colors that describe hell in Revelations 14, 19, and 20. So this is going to be a terrifying attack. And it's going to come from hell itself. This is still, I believe, representing what's coming out of the pit from the middle of the earth. And these colors are reminiscent of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, which was also destroyed by fire. And again, the difference in this attack with these demons wasn't just that they ordered a city to be destroyed. They had orders to attack the entire globe. So it's very possible that the four demonic leaders that are unleashed to send all these demons throughout the world may have divided these 200 million demons into 50 million each and sent to the four corners of the world. It's a little speculation that I'm taking here, but I guess I have to ask, why was there four of them? Why is there 200 million demons? And what are they doing since they're in charge? So let's take a look now at the horses that they're riding. It says, "And the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions." First of all, these are not actual horses. They're demonic forces with the fury of horses in war. Now, I don't know if we have any horse people here. Actually, no, I do know we have some horse people here. But if you study war through hundreds of years globally, you'll see that the whole purpose of using horses in war is to overwhelm the enemy by running your horses so fast they don't have time to respond. So that's what John's talking about here. See, these demonic powers are going to attack the world in such a fury that people aren't going to be able to respond. They're just going to be murdered right where they're at. They're not actual horses, but they're demonic forces with the fury of horses in war. And John, in his description of these demonic animals, is telling us that they are ferociously attacking man and ripping him apart like a lion. That's why he says they had a face of a lion. And we know what lions do. Lions stalk their victims, and they are relentless in their attack, and they prey on the weak. And believe me, humans, compared to demonic forces, are weak. And they're going to prey on us as, well, not me and you, if you're saved, that is. You know, sometimes we just have to stop and, you know, this stuff gets pretty concerning, does it not? And if you know Jesus Christ here this morning, you're not going to be going through this. God says that there's a time coming that we're not destined for this wrath. That's what Paul wrote in Thessalonians. But Jesus Christ is going to come for his church, and he's taken us out of there. And it totally is the character of God. Hey, he saved one family in the flood. You know, Noah. Everybody on earth, if there's only one family left, I'm going to save them. You know, God is of the character of being fair. Our God is beyond fair. He died for us. So we know that lions stalk their victims and are relentless in their attack. We know that they prey on the weak when it comes to demonic power. So like lions stalking their prey, nobody is going to be able to hide. They're going to sniff people out. John tells us how these demon horses kill their prey. Remember, they're not literal horses. You know, I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about this passage. We don't know what kind of concoction Satan has really put together here that God has allowed to happen. But all I know is that the demonic beings in hell are spirits. We know that. We know they're not. They don't have bodies like us. But somehow, some way, they still suffer with fire in hell. So I don't know what they've put together, but I believe that God may have even created bodies for them for this one incident. Because we know something physical is here too. We've never heard of it before. We can't really figure it out. But as we see the results of what these things are doing, it's absolutely terrifying. So John tells us how the horses kill their prey. Verse 17, it says, "And out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone." So don't really know what kind of concoction Satan put together in these horrible beings, but I would imagine that these demons are spewing something out of their mouth akin to napalm, like a sticky substance that would burn people. That's what we're looking at here. This is a horrible death that's being sent around the globe. Then, as people are suffering, being attacked with this fire and being burned, they're going to be asphyxiated with the smoke and the brimstone sulfuric gas. So they're going to be burned, and then they're going to be suffocated, and it goes on from there. You know, with a demonic force of 200 million, they are literally going to do damage on a global scale. Verse 18 says, "A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire, by the smoke, and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouth." You just have to imagine maybe somebody being left here in the U.S. There'll be a lot of people left here in the U.S. for the tribulation. The majority of the population is going to be here. And getting a phone call from the Middle East, you know, maybe by family or friends going, "Oh my God, get ready, you don't know what's going to happen." I mean, the terror that is going to fill this earth is going to go beyond anything that anybody's experienced before. So when that sixth trumpet sounds, we get round two of a satanic release. It's going to be a release of a 200 million death squad. And the satanic powers are so great from these demons that it's going to wipe out a third of the earth's population. And it says that the power is going to be released from their head and the tail of these demons. You know, as if John hadn't already painted a horrifying description of the power of these demonic beings with a lion's head stalking their victims and burning them, he goes on to describe their tails. There's more. Verse 19 says, "For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them, they do harm." You know, you can't think this stuff up. You know what I'm saying? This is like too far beyond anybody like Edgar Allan Poe could ever think up. This is demonic. This is pure evil in the raw. So God only knows what kind of horrifying concoction that Satan has put together in their tails. All we know is out of their mouths they burn people, and out of their tails they end up poisoning those people when they're through being burned. So that six trumpet sounds, four angels get ready to release the population. They unleash a 200 million strong satanic death squad. Their powers are so great that a third of the population is wiped out. The power to kill people comes from their head and the tails of these creatures. And finally, all the physical death doesn't do anything but bring on more defiance by the people that are left. Verse 20 says, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands. So, you know, this last outbreak of evil and disaster is going to be worse than anything that's ever happened since the flood in Genesis. It's so hard to imagine people responding in all this chaos, suffering global disasters, under demonic attack, as well as the gospel going out from 144,000 messianic Jews, as well as other believers on earth. And the Bible says, as well as an angel flying through heaven sharing the gospel. All this opportunity to be saved. And they are so going to be in God's face. It's interesting because Jesus quote from the prophet Isaiah, and the only logical answer here for we have in this situation in Revelation, it's in John chapter 12. It says that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. Because Isaiah said again, he's blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. And, you know, we're going to see as we continue in Revelation that people's hearts are going to do nothing but get harder and harder the farther into the seven-year period. Revelation 16:9 begins a description. It says, and men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. So see what I'm talking about. It only gets worse. And then in 16:11 it says, they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and did not repent of their deeds. So rather than seeing a change of heart, their defiance towards God and his people only gets worse. They are surely going to be so bitter against believers who are going to be blamed for causing all this, and you can depend on that. This is what Satan does. He takes his stuff because he's so dysfunctional and blames it on us. So rather than repenting from their sins and coming to Christ who could save them from an eternity in hell, they decide to worship Satan and the Antichrist. Isn't that a mind blower? How in the world could you worship Satan when you watch what he's doing? So they didn't stop, verse 20 says, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. So, you know, we know man has been worshiping pagan idols ever since Genesis, ever since the beginning. But we need to realize that these pagan objects of idols are used by Satan. There's demonic forces in pagan idols. Why do I say that? Because Satan uses these idols to lure people in to lock them in. And we have modern-day paganism going right now. It's called the Greenpeace Party. You know, it's worshiping trees on Earth Day. And animals have become more important than human beings because we're worshiping the created rather than the creator. And this is so heavy because John actually shows us how this affects our hearts and how people begin to act out in their lifestyles from worshiping these pagan idols. It says, and they didn't repent of their murders. So, you know, this time during the tribulation is going to be a time of blatant raw sin where there's going to be no morality and every man is going to be out for himself. This is pure self-centeredness. And it's easy to imagine how rampant murder will be with the shortage of food and water. Just think about everything we've talked about so far with all these judgments. You know, a third of the earth was completely burned up. All the grass on the earth has already been burned up. Animal life is killed. Humans were killed. Half the population's missing. So, you know, we've heard of refugee problems and people starving before. We can't imagine what this is going to be. And it's going to be a fight for you or me who's going to get the food. And people are absolutely going to be willing to murder to eat. People won't hesitate to murder in those situations because they'll have no moral compass to guide them. Verse 21 goes on and it says, and they didn't repent of their sorceries. The word sorcery comes from the Greek word pharmacia, which is just a description of drugs. And people are going to be resorting to drugs all over the world to just handle all the pain and the suffering and the depression because there's going to be no hope for any relief or change in this situation. And if you think about it, the drug-induced stupor that a large part of the population is going to be in is going to be a delusion that Satan has put over them to bring them closer to the pit of hell with no response. I mean, I came out of drugs myself. I was one of the chosen ones that God said, I want you as messed up as you are. You ruined your life. You ruined your family's life. And you ruined a whole lot of other people's life. And that's enough. Now I'm going to take you. And you just go, wow, drugs are horrible. And in times of death and suffering, drugs are worse because it's just a camouflage. I wouldn't even say that it's a Band-Aid to put over the problem. It's just a delusion to make you think something that's false. How about after the service? Yeah, just don't forget. So he goes on in verse 21 and says, and they didn't repent from their immorality. You know, I don't even want to go into the possibilities of sexual aberrations that are going to be happening during that time, during the tribulation. But we know that nothing is going to be held back. And I believe that violence with sexual aberrations is going to be running rampant with the most wicked things imaginable. And he goes on and says that they didn't repent of their thefts. You know, when there's no morality, anything goes. Nothing is going to be held sacred. People are going to be stealing money, food, guns, drugs, cars, clothing. You know, it's interesting. If you do a study in the Old Testament, especially in 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, you understand as you read about wars in there that when they fought wars and they won them, they would go in and they would take all the plunder. And What most of us don't realize is clothing was really of high value in those Old Testament days, because there was no JCPenney's, you know, and there was no shoe store to go to. And so, you know, when there was dead bodies lying all over a battlefield, they would always strip them, take their clothes, and take that booty home, because it was worth a lot. I really believe the same thing's going to happen in the Great Tribulation. The infrastructure, let's just talk about the United States. The infrastructure of the United States will be completely broken during this time. All transportation is going to be shot. And so people are going to be living off the land. And you all know, in every major city in the United States, there is no land. You know what I mean by that? You're not going to grow anything. And you're not going to have water. And you're not going to have clothing. People are not going to have clothes when we get far enough into the tribulation. And they're going to kill for clothing. I mean, just the thoughts of that is outrageous, isn't it? How could you be that desperate? Oh, it's going to be that desperate. People will kill for clothing. People will kill for shoes. The entire infrastructure is going to be broken down, and you won't be able to buy or sell anything. If you don't have the mark of the beast, even if you had money, you're not going to buy or sell anything. There'll be no qualms in stealing clothes and murdering to do it. So when that sixth trumpet sounds, we're going to get round two of a satanic release like we've never seen in the history of the world. It's going to literally unleash a death squad of 200 million demonic beings to murder over the face of this planet. Their power is going to be so great that they're going to wipe out a third of the population of the world. The power is going to be released from their heads and their tails with burning people and finishing them off with some sort of poison. And the physical death is going to do nothing but bring on defiance from the world population.